Report on close. Oh, no, it's not on my agenda that way.
Let's do it.
Okay.
Commissioner Hinton? Yep. Commissioner Coleman?
Present.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yeah.
And President Bale.
Here. Never mind.
There was no reportable action taken during tonight's close session.
All right. So number seven is appointment of board secretary. Larry?
Yes. Richard Marks was the board secretary, but he did not run for election. And so there's currently a vacancy of the board secretary. And Commissioner Coleman had agreed if the board would appoint him to the to be the secretary.
So moved.
Do we need a second?
Aaron, second.
I second.
All in favor? Roll call? On the board secretary? Public comment, please. Does anybody like to comment on our decision to appoint Stephen Coleman as the board secretary? Thank you.
Commissioner Higgins?
Yes.
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman? And President Dale?
Yes. All right. At this point in the agenda, we would welcome public comment on items not on the agenda. If anyone has items that are not agendized tonight that they would wish to speak on, now is your chance to speak.
Well, we can do formal stuff, but if
you'd step over to the microphone, give us your name.
Okay. I was wondering if you stood up in your seat.
Well, that way you're on.
Actually, it doesn't amplify that.
I don't need much of an amplifier, I don't think. Thank you for allowing us to be here tonight. My name is Pierre Carboneau. I'm first of all an American, second of all an Humboldtian. Moved here because I love this place, and I don't want to see it ruined like it was other places I'd lived coming up the coast. Okay. I've been a tile man since 1972, and I lived and worked here in Humboldt since 1988, 24 years. I gave 7 years to the board. Humboldt Builders Exchange is on the board of directors. Our business donates thousands of dollars to the many projects that support our schools, our children, and our community, mostly our children, because we care about our children. I was trained by many a fine man and woman over 5 decades, many out of the Los Angeles Union Hall, and I won't forget them. But as a member of that union, I belonged to several because our union was small. I belonged to the Teamsters, the carpenters, cement workers, the terrazzo workers, because our tile, we only had 1,500 men in our union area. I'm very proud of our local workforce. We have many craftsmen, trade people who take pride in building trades they represent here in our community. Our community workforce cares for our community and works to support our community in many ways. But like our meeting with the government representatives who supposedly represent us, they blow a hot air. I'm not going to say where. But they tell us they're going to back us and go for what we ask, and they get down to Washington and they vote for just the opposite, blowing smoke. And I don't like it, because if we don't save it, nobody else is. They're going to come here and just swoop it up, and you're going to have oil in our water, and we're going to have a lot of bad things happen to this community. I could tell you why, I know, but I haven't got the time. The PLA will workers from all over and leave little to reinforce our community. Our high school is a good example. A lot of out-of-town workers, unions. We were told first, locals, the alumni, and veterans and women-owned businesses had a shot. I don't know when it got it. My business is a veteran-owned business. My daughter is my partner. I served from 1969 to 1972 in Vietnam, and I'm damn proud of it. PLAs are anti-competitive. They increase the cost of the projects. They double standard, and they use assaulting methods when necessary to get the end result they need. It happened to me personally. Today, our government gave $36 million to a union outfit, and that's wrong. Nobody gives us $36 million to keep our what we dream of here. They don't care. In my opinion, the unions, like our government, are out for themselves and will spare no expense to stampede over little businesses with their greed for money.
Here, can you finish up?
Yes, sir. Thank you. I ask the board, please, to consider us when you make your vote. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Any other comments on items not on the agenda? All right, seeing that, we're going to move to consent. Oh, we got one more. Oh, well, sorry about that.
We're all waiting for somebody else to go next.
Don't wait too long. I'll move to the next item.
My name is Michael Finley. I'm a lifelong resident of Humboldt County. Spent 48 years in an open shop working here, local, doing construction. I think it's great that this area has an opportunity to get a project like this, but the PLA has ruined that in the fact that all of us local people, 85% of the people construction in this area are open shop. So you're virtually taking away work for 85% of the local workers. That means 85% are going to come in from out of the area. The local people here, they contribute to local sports, the schools, and they keep this area going. So I think there needs to be a huge look at changing that. They talk about skilled and trained workers. I consider myself fairly skilled and trained after 48 years of working, keeping the same job, working in the same place. So please consider that.
Thank you.
My name is Jerry Stewart, and I have moved to this community about 30 years ago, and I've been employed for 30 years. I've never been laid off for a small fabricating company out of Fortuna. I've worked for them, and you know, I think we need to have a shot at being included in the negotiations on this deal. And I don't feel that we're getting the recognition that we deserve. And this is our community. We have plenty of skilled people to do this job. You know, there's lots of opportunities there for it. And, you know, it's something, you know, I believe in the community. I don't want to leave the community. I want to stay here for the long haul. I want my kids to stay here. This is a good opportunity for them to do that. Thank you.
Thank you, sir.
Hi, my name is Chelsea Rios, and I am an owner of McCullough Construction. We are a Native American and minority-owned company based out of Arcata that has been in business for over 35 years. We are part of the 85% of local construction companies that are non-union, which means we are part of the 85% of the local companies that would be excluded if a fair and equitable PLA agreement is not made for the Harbor District projects. We pride ourselves on employing capable and talented men and women who truly love their craft and the merit shop philosophy. All of our employees are members of our local or surrounding communities. They are the families you see at the grocery stores, at our children's functions, and supporting our local economy. A non-inclusive PLA agreement, such as the one being considered, would prevent them from participating in your project, not because of their skill and qualifications, but based solely upon their union status. I understand that project labor agreements may be new to most of you, but that is why we are here, to share our knowledge with you on how PLA agreements can negatively affect your local contractors if not written correctly. Please allow us to help you during negotiations so that the district can provide a fair and equitable agreement that considers merit shop and non-union contractors. Please do not exclude your neighbors, colleagues, and community members. Thank you.
Thanks, Chelsea.
Hi, Chris McBeth, O&M Industries, lifelong resident of Humboldt County and Eureka specifically. This job, I mean, PLAs are fine. That's not the issue. It's just the language in it with like the core workforce and the skilled and trained language. That's really just a thing to cut out open shops. We've been dealing with it for years. We have several people that work for us that are have gone through apprenticeship programs, but the unions keep changing the rules basically on what a program, which program qualifies. We just need to have the proper language in there, and it'd be nice to have a part in the negotiations. Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Hi, my name is Trevor Treherne, native of the area and multi-generation. I run a company out of Fortuna, and my concerns with the PLA agreement is if my business is not able to work on this project and it allows only out of the area businesses to come in while those businesses are here, they will also compete for the work that we do locally, but we're not allowed to work on the project that they're here mainly for. And I also don't feel that those businesses that will come from out of the area will donate back like how our business has in the community. And the employees here are not able to transfer out of the area to look for work if our work is jeopardized. Thank you.
Thanks, Sharon.
My name's Isaac Doan. I'm a 25-year employee at O&M Industries. I just wanted to voice my opinion on the PLA. I think most importantly, if that is one of the stipulations to the job, that is most certainly going to be an out-of-town contractor, and I think it's a lot better for the community to keep that revenue in the county. So I would just like you to consider that when you take your vote. Thank you.
Thank you.
Hello, thank you guys. My name is Ben Dalton. I've got nearly 2 years or two decades in construction management. I went to Chico State, got a construction management degree, and traveled around all in Northern California working in several different locations. I worked for union shops and non-union shops. My issue is with the skilled and trained portion of the PLA. I know that by definition, PLAs are unfair. That is the whole point of them. I get it. That's what it is. Nobody's asking for complete fairness. If that were the case, it'd be skill and will show up and we'll give you a job, make some money, but that's not what it is. We know that. What really bothers me is my parents live in the same house for longer than I've been alive on this peninsula. This peninsula has been forgotten. There is not a business one of any size on it anymore. My dad spent 40 something years at the same mill, the north end of this, at Sierra Pacific, non-union, 40 something years, 45 plus, same job. It's closed. All the pulp mills down here are closed. We finally get one big project that comes in here. It's going to have some real money. And everybody says, you can't work there unless you have a union guy watching over your shoulder because you're not skilled and trained. Skilled and trained is complete nonsense. You can be skilled and trained without the union's help. It's like saying, if you didn't go to a certain school that paid us, you're not skilled and trained. You went to Stanford, great, but you didn't go to Brown University because they're the ones that pay us. We know it's about politics and money. That's what it is. I get it. But what I'm asking for is a fair shake for our local contractors and our local people. There should not be a core, a number for core employees. If you're here and you have the will, you have the skill, we're not going to take that much work from unions. I understand that the LPA is so that PLA is so that other large contractors don't come in and compete against the union and win from outside the area. What I'm really focused on is our local people here. I mean, everybody here knows that Humboldt County is hard to live in. It's a hard place. It's a hard place to earn money. We could have all went somewhere else and made a lot more money than we do here. And we get a big project in and everybody wants to take our sliver of the pie away. And it's a small damn sliver we're asking for. I appreciate you guys' time. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Ben. Anybody else wish to comment on? Thank you.
Hey,
Tim Hooven, McKinleyville, work at Hooven Company, engineering contractor. And just want to echo what these other people are saying. We would like an opportunity. I think it's fair and equitable to let the non-union or the merit shop contractors have a shot at it. I think if the way the parts of the PLA that I've seen, the way it's written, it's almost impossible to compete paying the benefits twice, having a one-for-one union, non-union. It would break up the way your workforce operates. Usually, you know, you have these crews, they work together all the time, they get things done very efficiently. You start adding three people you know, three people you don't know, nobody knows what their skill sets are. It's not going to make things more efficient. You know, you put the teams together according to their skills. That's how we do it, and let them do their job. And so anyway, I appreciate your time. I just think it'd be nice. We had a seat at the table or the Builders Exchange or some other ad hoc group to negotiate some of this language and let it be, let it be more cohesive, I guess, and not so it's just one-sided. No, thank you.
Thanks, Tim.
Hi, my name is Pat. I'm here representing the Humboldt County Builders Exchange. Had way more to say, but these guys kind of hit the nail on the head. I just want to reiterate the fact that we would love to be able to work with your commission and forming the PLA and getting the language that we believe will help these guys and the rest of our workforce in Humboldt County be able to work on whatever piece of the project they want. And thanks for your time.
Pat, what's your last name?
Hooven.
Pat Hooven. Any relation to Tim?
Hello, my name is Chris Albright. I'm not as eloquent as these guys are, but I just think we need to have a fair chance at this. It's like Ben said, you know, come on, we're finally getting a project here, and then we don't even get a chance at it. Just make the PLA fair. That's all we're asking. We're not saying don't do the PLA. We know that the unions are going to be there. Just give us a chance. That's all.
Anybody else wish to comment on items not on the agenda? A few of you haven't talked yet, I'm assuming that. Okay. All right. We're going to move on then. We're going to move on to item 9, consent calendar.
So moved.
Yeah, motion and second. You're not going to stay for the rest of the meeting? That seems...
Good to have the public back. Thank you.
Yeah, thanks. Hey, Merry Christmas, you guys, and a prosperous and peaceful new year. Thank you. Thanks for showing up tonight. It's been 2 years since we've had an audience, and you're it.
Well, you would have had more if you'd done a Zoom again, because our black guys are still
yeah, we.
But it's not as much fun. You don't feel it.
All right, Larry.
Commissioner Higgins.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yes.
And President Dale.
Yes.
And I believe that Ryan had said that you could do a voice vote.
Oh, we can because we're now. Yeah. Oh,
okay.
Love that.
Aye.
Aye. Yeah.
Practice.
So no more roll calls, except on ordinances. We don't have any ordinances tonight. Ordinances and resolutions. That's right. I forget about the resolution. Okay, there we go. So communications reports. Larry.
So I'm going to go fairly quickly here. The big news is that yesterday the offshore wind auction took place. It's something that we've been working for a long time with the board and the community and our partners here. And as you can see, RWE got one of the offshore wind at leases at $157.7 million. And California North Floating was $173.8 million. And so those were just for the two call areas off of Humboldt. And then the other three, Equinor, Central California Offshore Wind, and Invenergy, I guess it is the third one from the Morro Bay Call areas. We're really excited to be going at this point and actually moving on to the next step. But as we heard before, is there are issues that we have to deal with as we move forward. And we're taking all of these concerns seriously. This is the project that we've been talking about. And there's a lot of activity and a lot of people have been coming up here to have discussions. Just this last week or this within the last month, the fishermen subcommittee met with the commercial fishermen and really looking and trying to help them to articulate what their issues are. And so then there was a nonprofit that came up earlier this week, Brightline Defense, and they had 14 people from the California Energy Commission, the State Lands Commission, Ocean Protection Council, Coastal Commission, and other agencies. And then the Harbor District, we facilitated a meeting with these groups with the commercial fishermen. And so the commercial fishermen could meet directly with those organizations. And that was one of the things that this fisherman subcommittee met with the fishermen and said, as these agencies and the winners of the auction come into Humboldt, that we would help to sort of facilitate some of those meetings with them because it's a good opportunity while they're right here. And we would also provide this room available to the fishermen if they needed to meet and whether they want us to be present or they want to meet independently of assisting the commercial fishermen to try to meet and to hear these so these agencies could hear their concerns. Just this morning, we had a meeting with Senator McGuire and all 14 of his staff from Sacramento on up came, and President Dale and Commissioner Newman were here. We had focused on the Harbor District's efforts with aquaculture, work that we're doing with the commercial fishermen, and highlighted some of the commercial fishermen issues that they have. But the main focus was really was the offshore wind. Commissioner Dale and I met with Senator McGuire's office earlier in this year, and we outlined some areas, both in financially and legislatively, where we wanted Senator McGuire's assistant, or I should say he really told us what assistance that he thinks that he could help us to accomplish. And so I really think that we have a lot of really good legislative support from Senator McGuire, Assemblymember Woods, and Congressman Huffman. They've all been extremely supportive. We've also had communication with our senator at the national level as well, their representatives. And so I've had two meetings this month with non-union representatives regarding the project labor agreement. And one of the discussions was, as we asked them, similar to the fishermen, to appoint who the specific point people are that we wanted to have discussions with on the non-union representatives. And at the last meeting, which was, I believe it was at the end of last week, they had said they were going to come back to us with who would be the representatives of the non-union folks so that we could start to have a dialogue as we're starting to have those discussions.
That's the issue that was a concern.
That's correct. And so really, we want to know, can they appoint representatives as opposed to us meeting with every individual appoint a leadership group so then we could hear what their concerns are, and then we could take a look at the project labor agreement and then make changes if we think that they're fair, and then begin to negotiate those. We had with them, I spoke to them, and the goal was within 2 weeks that they would come back with a list of who the people were, and then it was going to be the subcommittee. I was going to set up a meeting with the subcommittee and their representatives, and then we could begin to have that dialogue. And so then as part of that discussion, there was and I don't want to get too deep because we're in staff reports, but there was a public records request. And so we released the draft project labor agreement that we're working on, and that's what they were referring to, is because we released the original draft project labor agreement and some other documents that we had associated with that. And so they have copy of the original agreement, and that's what they have provided me with some specific kind of red line strikeout language that they would like to see. And so then there's no specific timeline. There's no deadline that we have to complete the project labor agreements. And so then I had a meeting with CMAC, which was the California Maritime and Nautical Coalition is what that is. And so, which is really is all the smaller harbors and ports up and down from San Diego on up to Crescent City, which I'm on the board of that. I gave a presentation to the Rotary Club. Cal Poly and Dr. Charles Yarish came up and we did an aquaculture tour on one of the famous Humboldt Bay windy days in the port. And then we also had meeting with the county, city of Eureka, city of Arcata, coastal commission, as really as a follow-up to the grand jury report and the sea level rise adaptation of continuing this dialogue about how do we collaborate together in the sea level rise. And again, that was all a part of the response that we did and those other jurisdictions did on the sea level rise. So I wanted to let you know that we're actively working together and following up on the direction that the grand jury requested and that the board directed us to do. And then the Harbor Safety Committee met, and we did a pretty extensive update of the Harbor Safety Plan, which hadn't been updated in some time. And so the Harbor Safety Committee adopted the Harbor Safety Plan. And then we also adopted the Tugboat Plan. And the OSPR program, the state OSPR program, had sent the Safety Committee a letter because there was a fuel barge incident with the tug where it hit up against the South Jetty. And they specifically requested that we review some of the best management practices. And so the Harbor Safety Committee established the tug safety subcommittee, and we're gonna be meeting next week and reviewing some best management practices as a result to a couple of the area concerns, namely right at the tip of the South Jetty. And as you're going over Rock and Roll Alley, that those are kind of the area of concern for when you're transversing, especially under some inclement weather, low visibility, rough sea conditions, and what might we do. We had a meeting with Governor Newsom's infrastructure advisor, Mayor Antonio Villaraigosa, came up. Congressman Newsom, it should be Congressman Huffman, made a special trip up just for that meeting, and so did Assembly Member Woods. They came up here and we had a one-on-one meeting, a closed meeting with the governor's office, Mayor Villaraigosa, Congressman Huffman, Assemblymember Woods, and McGuire staff was here. And really, again, got down to this nitty-gritty on what is the funding that the state may be able to provide us as far as like leverage for port infrastructure development grants. We're extremely excited about the agreement that we signed with Crowley, and we're really anticipating this the BOEM auction that was taking place. And so we're receiving a great deal of interest from a wide variety of people, and I can't thank the board for coming to special meetings. So don't be surprised, Pat or Stephen or Aaron or President Dale, if I call you up and said, hey, could you please come? Because I got a call and somebody wants to be here. And so I really appreciate all the support we get from the board. And so, Chris, I'm going to turn this over to you.
Okay. So not a lot to report this month. It's been quite quiet, but I did want to share with you. You'll remember this time last year, we were considering defending ourselves from an action that was brought forth by the County of Public Services related to the hazard of the critical piece or at revenue. We entered into a consent order. I just want to let you know that we received this satisfactory completion notice. So that is now behind us. We've had our annual inspection here in Louisiana. We had our inspection. We reported that on the other path. Then I think we shared this with you a little bit, but finally, the plane sampling occurred Tuesday, September 6th. So it was very hot. Had scientists on it today, and just want to thank staff who went out in some cases from 7 to 20, it's all breaking between. Also, Bill Mastaval, you know, kind of the manager from the pride of their staff, and trained food sampling and from Mark off with the backbone of this project. So, there were four, hopefully, in February or March,
I thought would be the recording orders from our staff, Max and Henry, and Robert Fogel, who make every single order of Wendell, day and night, and both friends.
That was my. So, Rob, do you have anything you want to add?
Yep. A couple of weeks ago, I was able to attend as a steering committee member of the National Global Two Labs, who actually supports studies. Department of Energy, National Global Two Lab, we're doing a study to see which ports on the West Coast can serve as the offshore wind industry. So, that'll be due out in June or July. It's coming here. So, just faded in that. The CEC, as you know, granted us $10.4 million, but they've been issuing that to us in small tranches. We just got the most recent tranche of $3 million approved. So that's going to keep our projects going. And thanks to Chris, we've been fostering a really strong relationship with the EPA, who just issued us another technical assistance grant for 2023. So we'll be receiving additional EPA assistance. The county is looking to fund a bay-wide master plan for offshore wind. So this drawing up here that it's gotten so much traction, the master plan there with the broadband and Nordic and offshore wind, the county was inspired by that. It's now looking at a county-wide version. So we're coordinating with them. And then the Spartina.
Sorry, could we just, he's talking about for the Fairhaven terminal, or the Snyder, the Gwinnett, and the Woody Murphy Terminal and Fields Landing for the
all CDI lands.
Yep.
Huh. Around the bay. And then Spartina removal is scheduled to begin in January. So on Tulawat Island, too, we'll start to see construction. Spartina. That's it.
Just a quick reminder to everybody to use our microphones because we're recording. To play on Access Humboldt at a later date. So just a reminder to use our microphone.
Brian, District Council?
Nothing for me to know.
Nada?
No.
Commissioner? Commissioner New?
Well, I guess the only big news I have, other than my participation in all the things around here, is crab season is should have opened on December 1st, but it's been delayed because of meat quality. And there's now been a second round of crab testing where the local crab numbers only came up about 0.5%. They're at 21.5% meat recovery now. They need to be 24.5 to open. The other locations in Crescent City and Trinidad also came up more significantly, but there'll be another test to see if the season can open on the first of the year, which probably won't be the case, but looks like January 15th for crab, but it could be the first of the year still. So we're looking forward to crab season. That's all I got.
I
have nothing to report tonight.
No. Patrick?
Well, when the commercial season stays shut, more sport crabbers. I went out with them on the real steel, and it's one of the crazy cool things. Hour and 15 minutes or an hour and a half to go out on the saltwater wilderness, see the snow on the mountains, and come back with crustaceans. It's just really one of the most fun things I do at this time of year. I couldn't recommend it highly. All the guides here and Woodley participate, so it's easy to get on. I got a new dry suit, because you know, with drought, it keeps getting clear in the winter. And if I go in a wetsuit, then I die. And so I've got a dry suit, and I spied on the salmon circling in a pool in Phillipsville, about 250 of them in about 6 or 8 feet of water. And if you go to thehillroomrecovery.org, you click on the video link, you'll see what amazingly beautiful animals you saw. And they were stuck in the Hill River there because it didn't have enough water and it wasn't a very good place to spawn, but they have the ability to wait a month or two. So now they're on their way and it looks like they're gonna get the water to spawn. And so the cycle continues. couple last year, but we're like the famously like almost gone fish. And now my joke about that is that they don't read books and they don't care what I think. They're coming back. Well, Chinook are like declining. Coho are coming back. And we don't get to eat them. But I think that's, you know, just kind of signs of resilience of nature. So we ever get it, we're in harmony with nature, rich. Nature's resilience is don't underestimate it. So it's time for us to get more in harmony. But on that note, Greg, I'll wish everyone happy holidays. Which, there we go.
Thank you, Patrick. So I traveled to Seattle and I participated on a panel at K&L Gates. There was a number of different people from up and down the West Coast that participated. There wasn't a Crowley guy there, but there you were on the phone, but you weren't at the meeting. You missed out. Yeah, sorry. I found it interesting, and I got to know one of the port commissioners for the Port of Seattle, a little different gig than it is the Port of Humboldt Bay, obviously. But it was nice to hear. It's always nice to hear when Larry tells you something and somebody else corroborates it. They generally pronounce the words better than Larry does, okay? But one of the things that I walked away from that is the supply chain on the West Coast and our capacity to do things not just in Humboldt Bay, but to do all three states, and our cooperation between all three states on the West Coast is going to be critical to move a lot of this forward. And I think that's not in our, it's not really in our wheelhouse, but at the same time, we still need to think about it, keep it close to our heart. This past week, I went and babysat my 6-month-old granddaughter for 4 days, 5 days. And if you haven't spent 10, 12 hours a day with a 6-month-old in a while, you really should. It will enlighten your life. Sure. Made me happy. I'm still recovering. I'm exhausted. Larry, any correspondence?
We received a correspondence from the Peninsula Community Service District, and I passed that out to the board, and Mindy has a copy of that as well.
Thank you. All right. We're moving on to item 11, unfinished business. We have none. New business, item 12A, receive a status report on the new terminal project and introduce Crowley Wind Services. Do I get to introduce these guys? I'm going to mess up all their names. All right, John Berry. And where are you at? Okay, well, you got that California accent going on. Brian?
Brian Abel.
You're the smart one out of the bunch. He's got the PE behind his name. Evan Matthews.
No. My name is Evan Matthews. I'm the director of business development for Coastal Terminals Services.
Welcome. Jeff Andretti.
Yeah. Jeff Andretti, Vice President for Lending Services.
Happy to have you here. We're happy to be working with you guys. We really appreciate all your efforts to get here, to get to this point, and to move forward. We're excited.
So Greg, I was hoping to staff spent the week and we met with Crowley, and we really, it was kind of an opportunity for us to get together and kind of get on the same page, and then to go over a whole host of technical reports and other documents that we prepared to date. Mott McDonald came down from Seattle and up from the Bay Area and kind of spent a morning with us and kind of went over you know, some of the engineering and planning aspects of the project, and really went in and talked about how we're going to move this through to the next stages. And so I was kind of hoping that that if Jeff could kind of just give you a general overview of who some of the agencies were and some of the groups that you met with while you were here, and then perhaps just kind of give the board and the public just a general overview of Crowley and what your thoughts are about working in Hubble Bay.
Yeah, would you?
Yeah.
No. This goes on local TV. Nothing else is on.
That's good. I love television. All right. Well, thank you very much, Larry. I truly appreciate it. We've had an excellent week here and very privileged to be at the meeting to share with you our experiences this week. What I've learned this week is that there's a sense of community, and we definitely want to be a part of that. But the only way that that's going to truly work is if we get people from this community to be a part of what we're doing. And I listened to a lot of the folks here tonight who were talking about the PLA, how they felt that they were going to be underrepresented. I can tell you, we have a lot of opportunity here that we are going to need. Boots on the ground is going to be mission critical. The first day, and I don't know, Larry, whether it was planned or not, but coming back after our tour of the facility and sitting here in front of the crab fishermen, really learning about what was passionate to them. And it began to open my eyes to say, there's a lot more here than just offshore wind. There are people with jobs affected, and it's going to be very important that we listen. And as I explained to them and talked to them afterwards and emailed with them, that we collaborate on a solution. It's a very important project that you guys have here for offshore wind. And we know is going to stimulate this community, this state, West Coast, and this nation. But at the same time, we have to learn to be able to be good partners together, respecting what they're doing as well. Further, yesterday, we had our first experience with the Native American tribes here, and hopefully even more to come. We met with the Yurok up in Klamath. Beautiful drive, by the way. I can't remember. Was it Chris who recommended who was it, Rob? Was it, or Larry. Larry, okay. I wasn't sure who recommended at dinner the route that we took. Absolutely phenomenal.
Go to Prairie Creek State Park and make sure you take the loop. So it's absolutely beautiful.
It was unbelievable. And I mentioned to the guys as we were driving, because the phones obviously don't work up there. So nobody's contacting me. We're looking at nature. It was a beautiful, beautiful, crisp morning. And I was like, this is great. You know, no stress. I'm with a bunch of guys that I really enjoy traveling with. We're laughing. We're talking. We're seeing nature. It was great for about... Yeah, no, I mean, for about 15 minutes, I was like, this is really good, because I'm here to tell you, everybody who was with me in the morning, there was a little bit of stress going on as we got into the car. Nothing about the trip going forward, but more about the meetings that we had in the morning. The meeting with the Yurok really opened my eyes to, again, individuals who are extremely passionate about their community and about nature, but also about being a part of what's happening here. And I knew that we would have to make the Native Americans and tribes a part of the solution, but I really, really learned that it's going to be more than just collaboration. It's going to be more than just trying to hire them to come and potentially be a dock worker or a logistician. It's going to be about sharing opportunities. Maybe it's building a vessel together, you know, collaboration with them, Crowley and the Yurok tribe, or some of the other tribes that are out there. It's going to be working together with them and Cal Poly Humboldt to see what is the curriculum that we need to build out so that they can be more than just say a mariner or maybe a technician. They want to be for information technology to support what's going to need to be done at this terminal. So I would say, as I mentioned, that the things that have resonated with me today as I get ready to travel this week down to San Diego is, again, just the sense of community that's here, the fact that we are going to need local content. That's what I've talked to John about, to be able to work with people in this room every single day. Today, Brian took us over to 3 different locations for office space. We found one that I'm really excited about and can't wait to hang out at Shingle. And I said to Evan, I said, man, when we come back here in mid-January, as I've said to Larry, we plan on being back the week of the 23rd. Maybe we can hang out here rather than bothering Larry and the team like we constantly do. And we can get some work done in our own office. And I'd be really proud to be able to do that and call ourselves members of the community. So this week has been fabulous. It's been beyond what I could have expected. And really excited about what the future holds for Crowley here in Humboldt and what we're going to do together, Harbor District and Crowley, to build out this phenomenal facility. Larry wanted me to mention a little bit about what we're doing right now for offshore wind. And as I said during the signing ceremony, and it's even more so now as I've had the opportunity this week to meet a lot of different people and understand, you know, what their passion is about, what some of their concerns are about, but also what their excitement is for this project. This is by far the biggest thing that we have done in offshore wind. There is no doubt about it. And as the results came in yesterday from, as Larry mentioned, the different developers, we were all very excited internally and myself as well about what does that mean next? A lot of questions and comments coming back from leadership about, okay, have you contacted Equinor? Have you talked to Invenergy? What are we going to do as far as, you know, manufacturing partners? So my mind, and I know the team's heads right now are all going around, where are we going to go next? This has been a phenomenal year. When we started on January 1, we had 0 business, nothing. And since then, we have contracted our first 3 feedering jobs. Beginning next year, 2 for South Fork in New York, and then 2024 for Ocean Wind. We've signed up for our first ownership of our first facility in Salem, Massachusetts, 42 acres. We're going to do together with Avangrid and with Copenhagen Infrastructure Partners to support New England Wind, so that's Park City and Commonwealth in 2026. And then Mass 502, and then hopefully New York Bight after that. Hopefully by close of business tomorrow, with the help of John and Evan, we'll finalize an agreement in the state of New York for another 60 acres of land that we'll use to support New York 3. We have this great opportunity here with the Harbor District that we plan to be here for at least 40 to 50 years, building out floating wind. And then 2 other opportunities that we're chasing right now, 1 in Louisiana and also 1 in North Carolina. That's amazing when you think about that. We're going to be doing the marine management for the only Jones Act WTIV in the United States beginning next year.
What's a WTIV?
Wind turbine installation vessel, Greg. Thank you for pointing that out. And I'd love to be able to share something that happened today that is equally exciting. You'll hear about it in 4 weeks. But when you take all of that together, it's unbelievable. And if you would have asked me 3 years ago when we started on this, would you have feedering contracts, terminals, marine management contracts? Maybe one or two, but not where we're at today. We're growing our business. We started out, as I've told you guys before, with one person, and that wasn't me. I mean, one individual. And we are on our way to, by this time next year, somewhere between 25 to 30 people. Hub office in Providence. We are going to have an office out here with anywhere between 3, 4, 5 different people I know working right across the street where Brian has found a great spot for us. I think we'll have an office in New Orleans. We already have a satellite office in Norfolk. Some super accomplishments, but we've got a lot of work ahead of us, a lot of fun as well. And I'm truly excited about the opportunity. As some of you heard me say, it's beyond just the facility for the West Coast and for what we're going to be able to do. It's about defining what the supply chain. It's about, as Larry was talking to me about yesterday, how we do short sea shipping, how we ship products coming out of Los Angeles or San Francisco or maybe north in Seattle and Columbia River down here for the construction and ultimately take them offshore for installation. It's about how we utilize our engineering services to build out vessels that you're going to need to support that terminal. Those vessels being powered by alternative fuels like green hydrogen. It's how we work together with folks like Arnie Jacobson, who we were talking to yesterday, and his ideas around robotics, ROVs, to be able to do things like cable lay installation, which we're also involved with on the East Coast. But the most important thing that I've come to learn this year about offshore wind is workforce. Because we can have the best terminals in the world, we can have all the vessels that we need, but if we don't have the people, it really doesn't make a difference. And so I'm really looking forward to working together with Cal Poly, College of the Redwoods, other academies and institutions here in California to build out the strongest workforce ever to be able to support not only this project, but other projects up and down the West Coast. So I'll just close with, again, I am honored. We're all very privileged to be here, be a part of this community. We are truly looking forward to the years ahead. I'm pretty excited about the crab feed. I actually talked to my wife last night, and she's going to be coming out with me that week. We're going to stay at the social club. I was really, really impressed. I think we all were by that. And I can't say enough about Larry and this team and what we've done together thus far and what we're going to do within the next year. And certainly within the next 50 years. So thank you very, very much from myself, the team here, and from Tom Crowley and everybody at Crowley in Jacksonville as well. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Yeah. Larry?
I have nothing else to report on this. Open it up to the board if you have any comments or questions.
Comments, questions?
Very exciting.
Yeah, very good. So where's your office going to be?
It's a building. I told when Brian showed it to me the other day, that's the one. I don't know where it went today. And Brian's very
we're very excited to have you here and be working with you. It's going to be a great partnership.
No, I entirely agree. But this has been, as I said, fabulous week. The hospitality is wonderful. The time of the social part of the week was, other than freezing, I thought that Rhode Island, but it was great.
chef over there with his oysters, his wife shucking them. It's a lot of really, I truly enjoy it here. I must say, in all of my time in California, so many guys, this is me driving up this night. Never been this far anymore in California.
You used to have an office here, so it's nice to have you.
We did. Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. Back in the days, you and I were chatting about that when I was last year. For, I think it's Clean Pacific Alliance.
Yep.
Looking forward to coming back. Pointing this in the right direction, because we don't know what we do without the help of guys. Who knows where we would have been driving back. It's been fabulous, and everybody here that we have met outside of the folks that I've come to, been extremely helpful and welcome. Beautiful, it's been really supportive.
Yeah, good. And I'm glad you got up to the Yurok, and it's you're gonna have lots of fun meeting people. There's no end to interesting people in this community, and you guys will fit right in. Yeah. I'm a little, Aaron and I were talking about it. I'm surprised, you know, it's one of the first Crowley employees that I've met that aren't chain smokers. You guys aren't chain smoking. They don't do that probably anymore, do they?
You do a lot of chain.
Okay.
I will say the one downside to being out here and stuff with John is depending on your driving back. It's, you know, one thing I love about this place is by about 3 o'clock, the phone starts. The thing I don't like about it is we got to get up there.
Yeah.
John's business is up at 3 and 4 in the morning to start the work day. So it's long days, but.
Well, welcome.
Thank you. It's a bit of a journey from Providence.
Yeah.
And okay. I don't know how many flights and if they all make it, because my in-laws live in Narragansett.
Well, and, you know, we welcome you guys. If you're ever out there, there's a lot of conferences that go on. You're always welcome to our office as well. Great to share some of the experiences that we're having, certainly about the stoves. I know I said this to very, I truly believe that bring to the Harbor District and the Humboldt. And I hope that's a lot of the reason why you guys select us as a partner is the lessons learned. We're not perfect by no means, but we've learned a lot. John, people who are in Salem, that we can bring them.
Well, it's going to be a learning process, and it's probably not going to be, we're going to be learning for the next 40 years.
See,
and
building the airplane and flying at the same
time. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's good. It's going to be fun.
Absolutely.
It's going to be a blast, but it's going to be nerve-wracking. All right. Larry.
Okay, so don't feel like you guys have to stay. I know you guys got an early flight in the morning, and it's going to be windy.
too. So
good. I wouldn't have it any other way.
So they'll fly in the wind, but they won't fly in the fog. So there's if there's wind, there may or may not be fog.
We appreciate it. Thank you. Thank you very much again. We'll all be in touch.
Got it.
Yep.
Mindy, can you put David's slideshow up? And so, ready for the next one?
Yep, I'm moving on to item B, consider authorizing executive director and district council to negotiate and execute a compensation agreement with the City of Arcata Community Development Agency, successor agency.
You're outlasting everybody.
Yeah, we didn't even put you at the end of the agenda.
You know, when I first got here and I saw all the people here for my agenda item, my heart was warmed.
So I wanted to just start out and disclose is that we're talking about two pieces of property. I used to work for the City of Arcata, and while I was at the City of Arcata, I negotiated for the City of Arcata the acquisition of both of these pieces of property. I have no financial interest in any of these things. It was purely a governmental action, and I'm also was appointed by the Harbor District. And I'm sit on the County of Humboldt's Redevelopment Advisory Board that is also a part of that. So I wanted to just disclose that. And so with the staff's recommendation is that you hear a report from David, and then to really have the city, the district attorney and myself to work with the City of Arcata to come to the final agreement. On a compensation agreement under the general terms that are outlined in the staff report. And so I'm going to turn it over to David to kind of go over what this is all about and what their plans are.
All right. Thanks, Larry. Good evening, President and board members. My name is David Loy. I'm the Director of Community Development with the City of Arcata. And I have the pleasure tonight to bring this topic to you regarding the dissolution of our redevelopment agency. I'm going to kind of cut to the chase and get right into what the terms are that we're talking about. There's a lot of slides in this presentation that go into the background. So if you have questions, things that you know you feel like I haven't fully explained, I'm happy to to get into more detail. But I wanted to kind of spare you all the gory details around redevelopment and just tell you how the City of Arcata sees this process working and to kind of share with you what our thoughts are about how we can. Oh, perfect. I get the arrows. Rob knows I'm a control freak. I'll share with you the way that I see this being mutually beneficial for us. Now, I will say right at the outset that the Harbor District as an agency, a taxing agency that's within the former redevelopment agency's project area, you do receive taxes from those lands. It's not a significant portion of your budget. And so, respecting the significance of this particular item to you, I will try and be brief. Okay, so just super high level, in 2012, Governor Brown dissolved redevelopment agencies. Redevelopment agencies were a governmental entity that was designed to take tax dollars and invest them in those communities to increase the tax base, taking areas that were blighted or near blighted and investing those monies in ways that would allow for the reuse of those sites and to bring private money to invest in those sites as well. The two properties that we're talking about tonight, as Larry had mentioned, were acquired by the agency. And essentially what the agency's plans were for those sites was to, clear them of contamination, put in infrastructure, make them usable, and then translate them back into the private sector so that those would become productive sites again. And I can give you more details on those. So we've gone through all these steps through dissolution. We're at the green box right now, trying to come to terms with all the taxing entities. To date, I've been to the, I've had conversations with the county CAO, and I've had discussions with Humboldt Water, and we've had informal discussions with your staff. But so we're right at the beginning of talking with the various taxing entities and trying to, get this concept together for as many agencies as we can initially. The two properties that we're looking at, one in the north of the city of Arcata, you see outlined in the red dashed line here, is the Happy Valley Business Park. And then down on the far south, Little Lakes Industries, former industrial mill, that's going to be a mixed use site. We can get into the details on those if you're interested. So what the state law that dissolved redevelopment agencies said that the affected taxing agencies, you're one of them, gets a proportional share based on the total tax dollar of whatever the agreed value of those properties are based on your taxing entity share. So the city of Arcata bought these properties from private entities, and now we have to buy them again to continue to use them for those redevelopment purposes by paying off the taxing entities. You can see here proportional shares for the various taxing entities, and I've got a table that shows this as well. Also, this material is in your packet starting on page 27. So what we're basically asking the board to consider authorizing the district council and director to negotiate with the city on is that we'd agree to this value for Happy Valley and Little Lake at 563 for Happy Valley, Little Lake at 200,000. These are discounted rates based on the holding costs, the amounts of funds that the city has put into them to get them to the point where they're redevelopable. The next critical piece of this is we're actually asking you to take a reduction in the cash money that we pay you up front, that we would give you a one-time cash compensation for those values at 33%. Then we take the balance of that, the 70+% balance, 67% balance, and invest that in redevelopment of these sites. This is a critical piece to the terms that we're asking for you, because the city doesn't have infinite resources like it did when we had the redevelopment agencies. We have a small pot of money left over, and if we have to use that money to pay for the properties that we already own to the taxing entities, we don't have any money to invest into those sites. So we're saying, look, you take a one-time cash payment that's a discount on what you're rightfully owed based on the agreed upon terms up front. We invest all of that money into redeveloping those properties. And then what we're anticipating is that within a seven-year term, we'd be able to recoup that 67% that the city would be investing up front. And I can show you again in detail how that would work. So I'm going to pause here for a second because I want to give you a little bit of insight into, well, what if we don't do this? What if we don't invest those monies into the properties now? And before I go on to that next phase, I just want to check in and see if there are any questions about what I've said so far. Okay, I'm going to roll with it. Okay, so here's kind of the possible outcomes looking at the project sites over the next 10 years. And this is intended to, you know, convey to you why we're proposing this. So if these sites are redeveloped the way that the agency originally intended to, we would do a bunch of subdivisions on the Happy Valley property that you see on the left. There's a bunch of really cool plans for the Little Lake property on the right there. We would convey these back out to the private sector. And the difference between the purple line on the bottom, which is basically the one project scenario where we end up with not enough money to really invest in the infrastructure to support those big plans. And we end up with just, you know, the Happy Valley site probably being used as a log deck. That's what one interested party would like to use it for. The Little Lakes Industry site having one project instead of multiple. We'd be talking, you know, within that, approximate 10-year timeframe, having a cumulative tax dollar increment to the agencies in total of less than $200,000. You can see the full redeveloped scenario is significantly more than that. Even if we don't do what we fully propose to do out there, if we only make it halfway in the next 10 years, it's significantly higher tax value that we're all sharing as taxing entities. So what we're proposing is that we take that one-time investment instead of having to pay everything for it now, not having the money to do the investment to make those improvements and landing on the purple line, we'd rather all of us partner together to try and increase the tax revenue overall. This is an older slide deck, so I'm going to kind of pause it here. This kind of gets into some of the more detailed some of the gory details that we can get into if you have questions about those, but wanted to be able to answer any questions you might have. and happy to go into this if you do have questions that these are relevant to.
David, you may be getting there. So I know a little bit about Little Lake, mostly due to my activities with dioxins.
Mm-hmm.
And I know it was pretty contaminated.
Yep.
You got some of the highest dioxin contaminations in Butcher Slough coming out of that site. Is that been remediated, or is that a part of this plan? Or
yeah, so just a slight nuanced distinction between the dioxins that were sampled in Butcher's Slough and the dioxins that were sampled on the Little Lake Industry site. There's some suggestion that those dioxins came from that site. We don't have evidence to support that, to my knowledge. There are on-site dioxins that we're cleaning up. We've gone through and received a TBA grant with the EPA to do the sampling on the site. We now have a cleanup grant with the EPA that we're kicking off. That site has probably been sampled as much as or more than any other site in the county. And we've really confined the area, over the years.
It's been characterized.
Yeah, it's been characterized, and we know right where it's at, and we've got a plan to clean it up. We're working with SHN to do that.
Thank you.
Okay, yeah, most of this is like really deep in the weeds detail that I hadn't originally planned on going into unless you had a curiosity about it. I'm happy to move forward. Otherwise, we're at a high enough level.
The board is used to me talking about these kinds of issues, and so I think they get what you're talking about.
Okay.
That's pretty much what we do on our...
You want me to go forward then?
Yeah, I think
okay.
I think you can.
Okay, perfect. Okay, so I've got a table that's in your... in your packet as well that explains a little bit of this, but basically what we're looking at is over the 7-year valuation, $14.2 million. And so with that, the tax revenue annually in that 7-year period would be $142,000, and the tax revenue at full redevelopment is $240,000. Compared with the undeveloped annual tax revenue of $10,000. So this is telling you more in words. Some people like graphics. Some people, this doesn't make any sense to. So this is just telling you the exact same thing. If we don't develop these sites, it's going to be much less tax revenue annually. This table here is the total agency revenue of that 6,000. And can I use the mouse or is there a pointer? Great.
Rob's got that probably.
I do have a pointer.
Yeah. I have to grab them. That's good. I'll just point with this. So again, the 762,600 is the values that we're proposing to agree to for Happy Valley and Little Lake. And what this table is showing you is all of the taxing entities that are affected. The county has obviously the largest share along with Arcata Elementary. Harbor District is down here, as one of the lower share taxing entities. If we were to take this 762,600 and split it out amongst the taxing entities, just based on a straight share of your tax percentage, you'd get a one-time shot in the arm of $5,504. You can, compare that with the total annual budget of the Harbor District. We're talking pennies.
Oh, it's a major, major contribution to our budget.
$5,000.
Yeah, we want the money.
Okay.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
We are more than willing. We're coming with a hat in hand, and we are asking. We recognize that from the outset. Instead, what we're proposing is that we give you a one-time payment of $1,796. This is that 33%, and we would bank that $3,708, the 67%, right back into the project. Again, the order of project that we're talking about for Happy Valley is on the order of $2.5-3 million just for the base infrastructure. So this is a relative small contribution to that overall cost.
Can I ask questions while we go along?
Please.
I'm sorry. I'll find the question answer.
Yep.
Maybe you do have this somewhere. The district gets paid off the value of that property.
Correct.
As a tax annually.
Correct.
It's not much. Off these two properties, it's probably in the range of $30, $40, $100.
Something to that effect.
Less than $100
yep.
a year. Okay.
Yeah.
And so eventually we're going to get our $3,700 back.
Eventually you get your $3,700 back.
Faster if we let you go forward.
Yeah. And this is the difference. If all of the taxing entities say, you know, David, I'm not interested. I want my $5,504. And, you know, thank you very much. We can agree to that. We'll take that deal. We'll walk. And what will happen is that the city won't have money to reinvest into the properties. And so you'll get that, you know, approximate $100 for the next 30 years every year. What we're proposing to do is to have millions of dollars invested at these sites so that the tax base goes up and your, you know, $30, $100 translates into, you know, for the Harbor District, it's not going to be, you know, big bucks, but it's, you know, 10 times the amount that you're getting otherwise. In addition, you know, there's just the ancillary impact of having those additional economic impacts on those sites as well. But I don't really calculate that into this. For the Harbor District, for some of the folks that are lower on the end of the spectrum here, in terms of the tax rate, it's, you know, it makes very little difference to your budget, makes very little difference to the project overall. What we're looking to do is to build a synergy. So we've already talked with the county. The county is interested. They get 15% of the tax dollar. This is, you know, again, not a huge amount of money in terms of the overall cost of the project, but it adds up. It's the difference between paying, you know, the total $518,000, you know, versus versus $169,000. You know, and then that $350,000 we're investing back into the properties, starting to add up over time.
Did you consider just investing the full amount, and how did you land on that 33%?
We ultimately wanted to come to agreement with all of the taxing entities on a single with a single agreement that we would all sign on to the same agreement. 33%. We felt landed on a dollar value for some of the agencies where it is a pretty significant impact. you know, Arcata Fire, for example, you know, they're talking about, you know, giving up $45,000 if we said, you know, hey, we'll take it all. You know, that's a significant one-time shot in the arm for them for, you know, their annual budget. And so, you know, telling them, look, we'll give you $15,000. That's still not nothing. And then we treat everyone the same. So it was kind of trying to balance that. Some of these agencies, the schools, it won't impact their budgets at all. You know, they still have a fiduciary responsibility to ensure that they garner something out of this. The schools were one of the primary reasons why Jerry Brown dissolved redevelopment agencies in the first place, to try and fund the schools. Somehow the very next year they had record surplus in the state, but I'm sure that wasn't planned. But the schools, they get paid on a per student basis. So to the extent that we give them, $35,000 for Northern Humboldt School, for example, the state just doesn't have to give them that $35,000. So their budget doesn't go up or down. You know, your budget, it's going to get a one-time shot in the arm. If we go for the full 100% payment, that's $5,000. If we go for the 33%, it's $1,800.
Does everybody have to sign on, or can somebody hold out and cause this whole thing to fail?
We do have to come to an agreement with all of the taxing agencies. It could be the case that some say, no, we want the full total right now. It could be the key, and others say, you know, we'll take the 33% and we can have two separate agreements. So far, everyone I've talked to kind of gets it. The Humboldt Bay Municipal Water District said, we're interested. We'd like to see what some of the other agencies are willing to do first. The county was interested. They understood it. Talked to Arcata Fire, you know, just generally at the staff level. I haven't been to their board yet, and they seem to get it. So I think we're you know, edging forward. This is really the first, you know, I'm in sort of the first couple of months of having these discussions.
So yeah, from my perspective is that this is almost identical to what we work with the county to do on the properties, is that, and that we've been discussing of basically, how do you take these blighted, contaminated pieces of property and redevelop them? And we are poor, which is what the city manager of Arcata, when I first, Alice Harris, she used to always say, we are poor. We're poor as the Harbor District. And so it's this challenge. When you're poor, how do you take these assets that have this great potential to be an asset to the community, but you just don't have the money to redevelop them? And when then once you redevelop them, then how does it produce more and more tax revenues to support this infrastructure? With the County of Humboldt, they just adopted the EFID, and we've been discussing with the Nordic Aqua Farms, the offshore wind new terminal project and the Town of Samoa improvements, how that's going to generate approximately $50 million of tax increment, you know, with this redevelopment, and then reinvesting those money back into the infrastructure in order to redevelop. It's pretty much almost the exact same concept that David is talking about. And I think in general, this is why the Harbor District uses a very similar model. And I think supporting the city of Arcata to utilize a very similar model is a smart move for a community as a whole.
Where do you anticipate, you were saying like the actual project cost is gonna be, I forget what you said, millions of dollars, or where is the bulk of the money?
Yeah, so right now, when the redevelopment agencies were dissolved, the city had about $4 million in bond funds, I think. That's grown over time. We have about $6 million in bond funds. I haven't checked it recently. You know, with the stock market, that might be lower. But so we have those funds available to do the projects that are necessary to make these properties developable in the private sector. If it's a choice between using those funds to, you know, pay full market value for these properties, you know, which leaves us with no money and a piece of land that we can't develop, we're likely going to shift gears and just sell the properties. And again, the highest and best use for both these properties at this point is probably, you know, a log deck for the Happy Valley. I have absolutely no doubt that that will be the highest and best use without any infrastructure into that site. And a little.
How much is that an acre, Chris? $600 an acre?
Maybe a little more.
Maybe a little more?
Yeah,
not much.
That operator's pretty savvy.
And then the redevelopment from the slide that you showed, it looked like it was like subdivided into residential. Was that or?
Yeah, this is actually a you know, kind of a business park concept. You know, more of a industrial slash business. You know, we don't want to limit it to industrial uses necessarily. Anytime I'd call this an industrial park when Larry and I were working together, he'd say it's not an industrial park. So I've got that ingrained in my head. Business park.
It can't be used for residential because of.
No, we're not thinking residential out here. Yeah. Yeah, this is, you know, it's given its proximity to other industrial uses out here. You know, we've got Alves, you got, you know, Fegus's site. There's a lumber, the old Beaver Lumber up here that Fegus runs. Right now, these lands are all green diamond. You know, not that, you know, necessarily shipping logs down a residential street is too disruptive, but, you know, just putting those industrial uses close to residential is not what we've planned for at this point.
The way that you need from us a motion or?
Mm-hmm. A motion to direct the executive director and the district council to work with the city of Arcata to develop a compensation agreement. And then we bring the final agreement back to the board for adoption once we get everything negotiated.
So I move what you said.
Second. All right, we have a motion and a second. I think it's a great use of, a great investment of our potential revenue from this to allow this project to proceed as presented. This is my piece.
Agreed. Very creative.
So I have a motion and a second. Larry, I think you can certainly negotiate this with them.
And the public gets a chance.
Oh gosh, the public. Well, anybody from the public wish to comment on this item? Thank you, David.
Thank you. Yeah, and I appreciate your time.
Doing this and putting this all together, it's exactly what we do.
We need to do a project labor agreement for the time so we can get some compensation.
Well, I mean, we're giving up $3,700. Larry just burns that in a heartbeat. Yeah.
I'm just glad he still got $6 million of bond money left. That's what I'm glad of. I want to see if we can borrow some of that $6
million. Well, we're going to get it for something. All right.
Give it to me, David. I can spend that.
We can negotiate terms, I am sure.
Yeah, he'll be contacting you.
Yeah.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Seeing none, motion passes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks David. Negotiate tough with him too, Larry.
What's up? Yeah, I will.
All right. Exercise item 12C is exercise of option to assume from the Humboldt Bay Development Association. First, I'd like to say of APN 401-031-083 from the Samoa Pacific Group.
So moved.
Second. Take it away,
Larry.
Chris.
Oh no, they've already approved it. I don't need to.
No, we made a motion. We haven't voted yet.
So what you have before you is
I think the public does.
So what you have before you tonight is a kind of a three-step piece here. So what we're asking you to do is approve the assumption of a purchase and sale agreement that was entered into by the Humboldt Bay Development Association, in which the Harbor District will be assuming that. We have an earnest money and funding agreement. Am I saying that correctly, Ryan? An earnest money funding agreement where we will be putting in $50,000 to replace the $50,000 that was paid by the Development Association as earnest money in escrow transaction. We're going to have an addendum to the purchase sale agreement that outlines some ability for us to finance this at a very attractive package. And finally, working with Ryan, we'll have these final agreements. We're asking authorization for the executive director to negotiate the appropriate documents in order to make this happen. So as most of us know, most of you know, the Humboldt Bay Development Association entered into a purchase and sale agreement to acquire about 35 acres of lands in preparation for the heavy lift wind terminal. That is a purchase between the Development Association and the town of Samoa. We are currently in escrow and scheduled to close in March of 2023. In the process of this acquisition, we had the ability to speak with the County of Humboldt, US EPA, and the current property owner about the assumption of a certain loan. And that loan is from the US EPA Brownfields Revolving Loan Fund. And those loans are made to qualified borrowers who can show the wherewithal to redevelop the property and do the steps necessary to clean it up. And so currently there's a loan of about $2.3 million on the property that the County of Humboldt is managing, is the recipient of and managing the revolving loan fund. So the proposal will be for us to enter into an agreement with the county to essentially assume that loan or some other instrument where we may take a new loan. And it provides us the opportunity to finance this property or a portion thereof at zero rate of interest. There are some other conditions. The current loan is going to be due and payable in March of 2024. However, the district is in talks with staff at the county to potentially extend that term by taking a draw of a certain amount of money that would allow us to do some additional cleanup at the site. And that would make us eligible for a new 10-year term. At this point in time, again, the Humboldt Bay Development Association is the purchaser of the property. So we would I've forgotten what section it is. I put it in my staff report. I think it's section 8.5. Yeah, so in section 8.5 of the purchase agreement, the Humboldt Bay Development Association who intends to assign the purchase to the district will exercise that, or we could exercise that option, I guess, in there, and we will assume the purchase. So this is a much better opportunity for us to purchase the asset than we had originally. It enables us to get a very attractive financing rate and continue to move forward with our proposed development on the Samoa Peninsula. Happy to answer any questions, but I think it's pretty straightforward.
I have a motion and a second. Any comments from the board?
I don't know if I'd say straightforward, but well explained.
Yeah, very well explained. The whole development, Humboldt Bay development
district is interesting in itself, but it serves a purpose and it is our purpose.
Yeah, I'm on that, and it really is an interesting way to create more economic opportunity. So it's very interesting construct. It was originally with a new market tax credits, and it has enduring utility.
Very well said. So any comments from the public? Nada? All right, so we have a motion and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All aye. All opposed? So you got a motion passes. Go assume your options. All right, so now we get into the interesting stuff. Consider approval of the Second Amendment. This is item 12D. To the employment agreement with Larry Auchter as executive director.
So moved.
We haven't moved, we haven't got anything yet. What do you move?
I'm moving that we approve it.
With any
sorry if I'm premature. I withdraw that motion.
I'll make a motion that we approve the Second Amendment to the employment agreement with Larry Auchter as executive director, adjusting the salary to the amount of $190,000 and leaving all the other terms as is.
Second.
Any comments or discussion from the board?
Very appreciative for that services of
I have something to add to it. I don't know if it's amenable to your, I have a pencil here somewhere, amenable to your motion, but management staff is getting $1 an hour. And I think it's only appropriate that Executive Director Auchter get $1 an hour. That we agreed to last year, the last contract, which is a $2,080 to be paid to the management staff as part of their work on various projects. So I'd like to add that
compensation. That's as previously agreed for.
Correct. It's not in this. It's not in this amendment, though.
Yeah, it's not part of the contract. It's part of the previously agreed management.
No, I don't believe it is. I do not believe it is. It needs to be included here.
I would accept that as a friendly amendment.
Second agrees.
All right.
Commenting just the vast difference of where the district stands from when Larry started to where we are now. It's remarkable, to put it mildly. So the work you've done has created ways that you've thought around, attracting businesses, attracting opportunities, and building up the staff. So,
thank you. Totally agree with that, and it's an amazing amount of work that's going in compared to traditional Harbor District for the prior 30 years. So I think you did a great job.
I'm okay. Did somebody
I'm okay. I mean, it's going
somebody down. Kidnapped our Patrick or what? Yeah. I'll shut up. I want to say, you didn't do anything for the first couple of years you're here. But you did tell us we need to do this stuff. We need to characterize the sites. We need to do the geotech on this site. We need people are gonna want this.
Doc, they need this information. You told us that. We kind of listened. We kind of let you go, you know, free for all with it. And I mean, live and learn. You were 100% right. And I think to a certain extent, it comes from experience. You've messed up enough times and got things right enough times that you know what the hell you're talking about half the time, right? And you got this one right. So, and I see it today when we're in these meetings with Crowley. I see it when I'm talking with other ports. I see it when I'm talking with wind developers. They all say the same thing. You guys are, you're 5 years ahead of anybody else. And you've done a great job. You're there. You're what you're doing is the right thing. This is what everybody wants, everybody needs. And Larry, I can't thank you enough for that advice that we ignored for 4 years. Okay. We didn't ignore it.
Yeah, I'll object to that. I'll say not that he wasn't doing anything for years, it's just you only started paying attention like the past 18 months.
Okay. All right. No, it's been
a bad for this. All right. So
anyways.
We sat here in this room in 2008 when the world economy had gone bust and the goods from China weren't coming and the railroad wasn't going to be articulated. And Larry said, there's a lot more jobs in the pulp mill than in it being a pulp mill. And he laid out a vision for a small peninsula that we are now well along the way to achieving. And so he's a person with vision and he loves his job. And that's why he's so good at it. He just, all those moving parts, you know. I remember sitting in his office with him and looking up at the blackboard and I go, Larry, how do you like this? He goes, look at that, man. Anybody else would have been getting a headache looking at that. And he just loved every one of those interesting aspects of all these convoluted deals. And he has staff to support him at this point and capable partners like Crowley. And so, yeah, I mean, small but mighty, but maximizing our leverage. And so I didn't fall asleep. I kind of had to formulate my thoughts.
Thank you, Patrick. You did well. So I want to make sure, Ryan, we got this 190. We're going to change 165 to 190. And you're going to add a sentence that says 2080. Okay. And that's part of your motion and your second. We have no public comment. And we are going to move to a vote. All in favor?
Yep.
Signify by saying aye.
Absolutely.
All opposed? I said aye. So motion passes. Thank you very much for your service.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right. So now we're going to move on to item, what is this? Agenda 12E. To read my agenda item. What is this agenda item about? Consider approval of the First Amendment to the employee agreement with Chris Mickelson as Deputy Executive Director.
So moved.
Now second.
See, now you got the bench. I don't want to move. I'm probably getting rid
of it. So I have a motion and second.
Go ahead.
I'd recommend that we amend the motion to add the word one time in the final sentence of section 2A. So it would read, employee shall receive a one-time $5,000 annual salary adjustment once the Coastal Development Commission has received from the Coastal Commission. Then if you look from
I'll add that amendment to our motion.
I'll see a second.
All right, and I will say that that's not going to be the, I mean, I think we should all understand that's not the final, because we have to negotiate a contract with management every year. So one time is language that cleans up the language in the contract, but doesn't mean that that's the end. So this contract has all the proper language in it now, Ryan. I'll let the board.
I just think, like Larry, she's done a good job, and
looking at them here. They're working a lot more than the old days.
Yeah, I've just been super impressed since your time. Staff, Chris, you've done a lot done. You've always been super accessible to the board. Seems like you have a great relation with the staff. One great thing is your knowledge of real estate has been super helpful. So just keep up the good work. We look forward to a long future.
I like voting again. Good job.
Well, I want to say that the staff, and I include Rob and Mindy and all of our staff they have stepped up. I mean, it's not been an easy place to work at times. They probably think we're a cast of characters that just are goofier than wooden ducks, which is probably true. But they have persevered, and I'm so, so proud of this staff and the way you guys all have come together. And it's not easy. It's not been fun sometimes. But I think it's going to get funner. And I think it's really fun to be successful. And I think you guys are putting things in place that will make this an incredible place to be and to work and to have grown. You're going to grow this operation, this piece of government. And my God, who would have thought that Greg Dale would say growing government is good? But funner's a word. Hold on. Look that up. Ryan, funner's a word, right?
More fun.
More fun?
More funner.
More funner. Funner's not a word. I don't want to play Scrabble with you. My wife would give me funner. I'm so impressed and so, you know, just grateful to be here, to be with you guys, and to serve you guys. I'm impressed every day. Every day I come here, I'm impressed. The island looks great. The morale is great. You don't have the liveaboards in here screaming and yelling. You don't have, well, never mind. You do have fish. I think
they don't know we're back in person yet. Right?
I'm just really, really impressed. And I'm impressed with the team that you guys have and you put together, and all the little sub teams that you have. You get things done, and Ryan keeps you out of jail. So, right? Most,
yeah. Thank goodness.
Wow. All right. All right. So I'm
third
job. Pat can go to jail. He's been there before, probably. All right, so we have a motion, a second. Any comment from the public? We're starting to get giddy here. No comments from the public? I will call the question. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Meeting, that's our final item. The meeting is adjourned. Hey, no. I would like to wish you all a very Merry Christmas, a wonderful holiday season. And for those of you in the public that are watching this, I think all of us at the district would love to wish you a very prosperous and peaceful new year. Thank you.
Absolutely.